Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We depend upon God like the air we breathe. Breathe deeply, my friends.
Thank you.
Good morning again, all you folks who remembered to spring forward. We're delighted that you're here. Welcome to West End United Methodist Church, especially if you're here for the very first time or you've just begun attending recently. We are pleased that you have joined us this morning and want to express our hope that you will become a part of our family of faith here. Now, one way to do that is by becoming involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. If you look at your bulletin insert, you'll find lots of opportunities to do that. I'm going to lift up a few of those in the announcements. Today at 4:30 is our choral vesper service. I'm really looking forward to this. I know many of you are too. I hope you'll join us for that. We have a former West End member, Jonathan Carl, returning to help us with that. And Jonathan is currently serving in the Memphis Conference, but getting ready to move to the Minnesota Conference, I understand. So we'll take a chance to hear his and experience his leadership once again. 4:30 this afternoon here in the sanctuary. Also, let me invite you to come back to Wednesday night dinners. These are a central part of our life together. We've been in a bit of turmoil with the renovation, especially the renovation of the kitchen, but we're getting settled down again. We have a new caterer, Barley to Rise, and I think you'll love the food. There are lots of opportunities for study that you can see in your bulletin insert, including our Lenten study, Restored. If you have not been studying that in your Sunday school class, you have an opportunity to do that every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. in 310. So I hope you'll sign up, make a reservation by Tuesday noon, let us know that you're coming, and join us for Wednesday evening dinner and classes. This Thursday, we continue our noon Lenten concerts, and those begin at noon. Lunch is served, again, catered by Barley to Rise, at around 12:30. Our intent is to get you in and out in 1 hour. This week, our own Matt Phelps will be the person performing, so I know you'll want to join us for that. You'll notice on one of your inserts here, on one side, we have the potato drop. Save the date for the great day of service. We had a great time last year. I know we will again this year, so put that on your calendar. And then on the other side is the announcement about a world-renowned storyteller, Elizabeth Ellis, who will be with us this coming Saturday evening in McWhorter Hall at 7 p.m. If you've never heard Elizabeth, you don't want to miss her. She is a remarkable storyteller. I've known her for many, many years. And if you did hear her the last time she was here several years ago, I know you'll be back. So please join us for that as well. Did you ever think there must be a different and new way to approach those people with whom we disagree? Maybe even those people who have been ugly or mean to us. Well, there is. Stick around. We're going to talk about that.
Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, all the people of the land, from the east to the west, from the north to the south, shall praise God's holy name. In the cross of Christ, we find forgiveness and grace. Let us confess our sins, trusting in God's love and mercy, as we pray in one voice. Merciful God, how fickle we are. We sin against you without even knowing it. Forgive us from failing to honor all our relationships. Help us to speak words of blessing and kindness rather than words that belittle and destroy. Forgive us for thinking everything depends on our efforts and power. Help us to depend on you alone and to rest in your peace. Brothers and sisters, through Christ we are forgiven and set free to live in faithfulness with God and with one another. Thanks be to God. Please join me as we pray together the Lenten prayer for illumination. Holy God, Word made flesh, let us hear this word open to your voice. Silence our agendas, confound our expectations, and clear the cobwebs from our ears. We know that you can, we pray that you will, and we wait with great anticipation. Amen. A lesson from the Epistle to the Ephesians. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. Please be seated. If there are others who would care to join us, you're welcome to come. Bring a parent or grandparent or a friend. That's perfectly all right. This coming Friday is a special day. It's a special day in the church, but it's also a special day in our culture. It's St. Patrick's Day. And when I was your age, really the only thing I knew about St. Patrick's Day was that you wore green so people wouldn't pinch you. That's all I knew, basically. Well, there's a lot more to it than that. Patrick was born a long, 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 long time ago. And while we think of him as being Irish, he really wasn't Irish at all. He was born on the island of Britain, across the Irish Sea from Ireland. And when he was 16 years old, there were people who came on a ship from Ireland, and they kidnapped him, and they took him away to be a slave. And for 6 years, he was a slave in Ireland. He kept the sheep of his slave master. And then one night he had a dream, and in the dream, he heard someone saying, "There is a ship leaving." And he knew where the ship would be, and it was leaving for his home country. So he escaped from his slave master, went to where he saw the ship in his dream, and sure enough, it was there. Well, the people on the ship weren't sure they could take him on board because, after all, he was a runaway slave. But they did finally, and he went back to England, Britain. He studied and became a priest, became a pastor. And he was living in England when he had another dream. And in the dream, there was a person from Ireland who came to him. And that person said, "Come and walk among us again, holy servant boy." And so he went back to Ireland, to the very place where he had been a slave. And he told them about the mercy and love of Jesus Christ. And the reason that there are Christians in Ireland today, many people believe, is because Patrick was willing to go back to the people who had enslaved him and preach the gospel to them and tell them about Jesus and Jesus' love, even for them, though they had been harsh and mean to him. After many, many, many years of preaching, there were Christians all over Ireland. And we know this because the earliest piece of writing that we have in Irish literature is a little book called Confessions, written by Patrick, about his own life and his own experiences. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit more about how we show God's mercy, because that's what he did. He didn't have to go back to the people who had been harmful to him, who had hurt him, but he did, because he had experienced God's mercy, and he wanted to share that mercy with others. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for showing us mercy, for loving us, even when we're not very lovable, and help us to love others, even when they're not very lovable. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming, Dale. I want to start the sermon with a couple of pieces of good news related to this congregation. As I mentioned last week, Aaron Racine and I were out early in the week interviewing candidates for ministry. And two of those candidates for ministry are from this congregation. Stacy David Heiser Gonzalez was approved for commissioning in the United Methodist Church. And Chris Allen was approved for ordination in the United Methodist Church. And I think that's something for us to celebrate. This church has provided a number of really, really fine leaders to this conference. And I know the conference is grateful. And I know that you celebrate that with me. So when you see Stacy or when you see Chris, tell them congratulations. Job well done. Last week when we left Paul, he was in bad shape, right? He was being vulnerable with us and telling us that the very thing that he did not want to do was the thing that he did, and the very thing that he wanted to do was the thing that he neglected to do. And then he ended by crying out, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Then, of course, he broke into praise for Jesus Christ. In this passage from Ephesians, we get an extension of that word of praise. Because you see, Paul recognized he couldn't depend on himself. He was going to fail almost every time he tried. because when he wanted to do something, often he did not do it. When he didn't want to do something, it was the very thing he found himself doing, and he needed help. Well, this passage describes that help. The extravagant mercy of God. That extravagant mercy of God does not depend on our doing the thing that we intend to do or not doing the thing we don't intend to do, thank goodness, because if it did, we would all be sunk. It doesn't depend on who we are. It depends on who God is. God is merciful not because we deserve mercy, but because God is merciful. It is God's very nature. God loves us not because we are always so lovable, but because it is God's nature to love. And in Jesus, God comes to us in the flesh to teach us what that mercy and love might look like. Jesus has a meal with the person who betrayed him, with the person who would deny knowing him, with all the people who would desert him. And if that's not mercy, I don't know what is. From the cross, he speaks words of forgiveness to those who had driven spikes through his wrist and put him there to die. If that's not mercy, I don't know what is. Ah, but you say, that's Jesus and I'm no Jesus. Well, me either. But you know what? I aspire to be like him. And I bet you do too, or you wouldn't be here this morning. We don't only have Jesus to look to. He is the perfect example of how this thing works, how this mercy shown toward us works. But we have other examples as well, Patrick being one of them. You know, we think of Patrick as the person who drove the snakes from Ireland, which is not true. There were no snakes to start with. We think of Patrick as the person who took a walking stick, stuck it in the ground, and it blossomed. My friends, never happened. But he did something much more remarkable. He went back to share God's love and mercy with a group of people who had shown him no mercy. He returned to the Irish people after he had been enslaved for 6 years in that country, after he had escaped slavery. And if I had been Patrick, I don't know that I would have gone back. Now, in his confessions, he says that as a boy, he hated to go to church. He thought it was boring. He didn't like it very much. His father, who was a deacon, who was a Christian, forced him to go. But when he was out on the hillsides of Ireland, cut off from his family, cut off from his country, cut off from everyone, he said that's when he learned how to pray. He had no one to depend on but God. So that what would at first appear to be a tragic experience turned in to be a vehicle of God's mercy and grace. On those lonely hillsides in the dark of night, watching over someone else's sheep, he learned God's mercy for him. And when he was able to escape, he decided to study that mercy, to learn more about it. Apparently, he went to study on the continent. Now remember, this was the 5th century. This was the 400s. He went to study on the continent. He came back to Britain. He could have had a career in the church. He could have wound up serving the equivalent of West End United Methodist Church. But he had a dream. And in that dream, someone from Ireland came to him and said, "Come and walk among us again, holy servant boy." And he gave up the career that he might have had. He gave up, by choice this time, his country, his family, and all that he knew to return to a people who had enslaved him, to tell, not to tell them of God's judgment and condemnation, but to tell them of God's mercy. He became the patron saint of Ireland, the Bishop of Armagh. He confronted kings, and Irish kings could be pretty cruel in those days. And he told them about the grace and mercy of God. We have one other document from Patrick. It's a letter he wrote to a general who had come and taken some Irish slaves. And it's an appeal to that general to let those people go. You see, once we experience the mercy of God, it's not something we can keep to ourselves. It's not, I've got mine, now you get your own, because you see, we didn't earn it. Did you hear what the reading said? It's a gift, pure and simple. It's not because we're so smart or so good. It's not because of where we were born or the privileged position that we may hold. It's a gift. And if it's a gift, it's available to everyone. Jesus illustrates that perfectly. St. Patrick illustrates it pretty well. But you're still saying, I'm no saint. I'm no St. Patrick. Well, me either, okay? But there are others. I don't know if you know the name Darryl Davis. He's a musician. Played with Chuck Berry. Played with a lot of the rock and roll and boogie-woogie musicians. He grew up as a child of a foreign service worker. And so, living abroad, he went to school in what was basically the United Nations, because it was an embassy school, and children of embassy officials all went to the same school. That was his normal. When they were posted back to the United States, he was enrolled in a school where he was one of two African-American students in the entire school, one in his grade. Well, his friends got involved in the Cub Scouts and then the Boy Scouts, and he got involved in scouting and really enjoyed it. They were to march in a parade. They asked him to carry the flag. He was in the middle of the group in his uniform carrying the flag. They were walking down the street. The bands were playing in front of them and behind them, and all of a sudden he felt something hit him, and it was a Coke bottle. And he kept walking, and felt a rock hit him. He thought, why do these people hate the scouts? And then his scout leaders moved in to march around him to protect him from the objects that people were throwing at him. When he got home that afternoon, he was telling his parents about this. He said, I don't understand why people hate the scouts. And they said, well, there's something we need to tell you. They don't hate the scouts. They hate you because of the color of your skin. He said, I didn't believe them. I thought they were lying to me. That made no sense at all. That was just absurd to me that anyone could hate anybody else because of their skin color. So for a long time, I didn't even believe him. He went on to Howard University, got a degree in music, became a professional musician. And that question still ate at him. How can anyone hate me if they don't even know me? And so he took a step out of that experience, very much like St. Patrick. He decided, after hearing a Klansman speak on television, that he would go pay him a visit. And he did. And he sat down with the Klansman and said, okay, how is it that you can hate me when you don't even know me? And he actually listened. He didn't bring condemnation. He didn't bring judgment. He listened to the experience that this Klan official shared with him. And then he spoke directly out of his own experience, offering the history of his people and his own history. Well, things didn't happen overnight, except that they developed a friendship. And even while the Klansman was spewing offensive, hateful words, Darryl didn't give up on that listening. He continued to go. He even went to Klan rallies, if you can imagine. And after a while, that Klansman came to him and said, "I can't do this anymore. I'm getting out of the Klan, and I want you to have my robes." So he took them. And he went to another Klan official and did the same thing, and another and did the same thing, and another and did the same thing. And one by one by one, Darryl Davis began to win over Klansmen, people who hated him because of the color of his skin, by simply being present and offering the grace and the mercy of God. There is a documentary made about him called Accidental Courtesy. And in it, he's asked, how many Klan robes does he have? He said, "Oh, I don't know. I must have 25 or 30. One man, willing to sit and listen, without condemnation, to offer the grace and the mercy of God to someone who hates them. When we talk about making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, that is how the world is transformed. One person at a time, loving one person at a time, to receive the grace and mercy of God. But the good news is, it's not dependent on us to do it, because it's Christ working through us. It's this gift we've already received. We're still those people who do things we don't want to do and don't do things we want to do, but we have someone else working in us and through us. And Patrick recognized that. There's a prayer. It's very long. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to read you a little part of it. It's called the St. Patrick's Breastplate. Whether Patrick actually wrote it or not, or some admirer wrote it, we don't know. But it really, I think, exemplifies what Jesus stood for, what Patrick stood for, what Darryl Davis stands for, what we're supposed to stand for. It says, "Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ to the right of me, Christ to the left of me, Christ in my lying, Christ in my sitting, Christ in my rising, Christ in the heart of all who think of me, Christ on the tongue of all who speak of me, Christ in the eye of all who see me, Christ in the ear of all who hear me." If we could only see the Christ dwelling in even those persons who are hateful to us, as Patrick saw that Christ in the Irish, as Darryl Davis sees Christ even in those who hate him, then the world would indeed be transformed. We affirm our faith in lots of ways. And one of those is through Scripture. So I invite you to turn to number 888 in your hymnal and join me. Stand, please, and we'll affirm our faith. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised on the third day, and appeared to first to the women, and then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. By the power of Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to himself. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us share signs of peace one with another. The peace of Christ be with you.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We're glad that you're here, and we hope that you'll join us for fellowship and coffee in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions that you might have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and also in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary following the service. You can look for their blue name tags. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. We invite you to record your prayer request there, indicating if they're to be shared or confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they're passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad that you find near the center aisle down the pew if you've not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew toward the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone that you may not know after the service. This morning, we celebrate the birth of Avery Virginia Smith, who was born on February the 9th to Ashley and Jared Smith. She is also welcomed by her big sister, Emma Smith. This morning, we remember the family and friends of Sharla Houston Honia, who died on Friday, March the 3rd. We also remember Lynn, Lewis, William, Betty, and Rebecca Hoyt, who are mourning the death of Lynn's mother, Diane Sieberling Franklin, who died on Friday, March the 3rd. Services were held on Friday at St. George's Episcopal Church. We remember Laura, Peter, Noel, and Annabelle Strions, who are mourning the death of Laura's mother, Karen McCarty, who died on Sunday, March the 5th. Services are scheduled for 10 a.m. on Tuesday, March 14th at Brentwood United Methodist Church. And finally, we remember the family and friends of Troy, known as Gus Gillette, who died on Monday, March the 6th. He survived by his wife, Susie Gillette, and his daughters, Elizabeth and Keegan Gillette. No services have been scheduled. Let us now go before God with our prayers, trusting in the mercy and grace of God, who hears our prayers and works for our good. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your great love for us through Jesus Christ. We give you thanks that there is nothing we can do to earn your love and nothing we can do to lose it. Your grace saves us each day, O God, and we are grateful. We pray now for those who need to hear your love for them, that our words and actions might be bearers of your loving kindness. And we pray for those who need to be reminded of your love. May your Holy Spirit go before each person, that they might be enfolded by your love and empowered by your grace. We pray for those who are hurting this day, that their wounds might be healed. We pray for those who are searching this day, that they might find answers. We pray for those who are afraid this day, that they might know safety and peace. O God, we pray for our world, that our leaders might be led by your Spirit to work for the health and safety of all people. May their actions reflect the love which you have for each of us. We pray for those who are hungry, those who are without shelter, those who are ill, those who are isolated and alone. May all come to receive the immeasurable riches of your grace. And may we seek to ensure that they have food, housing, medical care, and supportive community. Guide us, O God, to live out our calling to do good works, not so that we might be saved, but so that we might respond to your grace with gratitude. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, who knows us and loves us completely. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We have indeed received the immeasurable riches of Christ's grace. Now let us respond by the giving of our tithes and offerings.
Now go forth to share God's mercy, serving God and your neighbor in all that you do, and God, whose mercy is over all creation, Jesus Christ, who was God's mercy walking among us, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to extend God's mercy to others, will be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace.